Guess who and guess what? Footy Prime is launching a gin and we're having a party to celebrate. Thursday, June 6th, join the whole FP crew for Footy Prime's one-night stand at Nickel 9 Distillery in Toronto. Come celebrate Footy Prime's one-ball gin with Nickel 9 Distillery mixologists on hand, Charmin's proper pies, meet and greet and photo ops with your favorite primers, and a live Atska's Almost Anything podcast. Footy Prime's one-night stand, June 6th at 7 p.m. till when we kick you out. Tickets at eventbrite.ca. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oi! The boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Amy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
They said, nah, don't think so. And he went out and formed this, I think it's Kilmer Sports Group, and they have the franchise. So it's Tannenbaum's, baby.
Kilmer. Kilmer, isn't that his...
Tannenbaum's, baby.
Isn't that his company, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Kilmer?
Yeah. That guy's beyond loaded.
That was some serious baritone there,
old,
Jason.
Too, right?
What?
Thank you.
And he's old, too, so if you fucking might as well have fun with it.
He owns all the Enroutes.
Yeah.
And one of his other big companies is they take dirty soil, contaminated soil, and clean it.
Oh.
He's got a couple of little things going on.
He's done well for himself, hasn't he?
Huh?
He's done well for himself. He even works himself at the Tim Hortons in the En Routes often. So save a salary. Save some money there. Often you see him there pouring coffee.
I like that he does that, though, because he's made sure that his double doubles are perfect. So I appreciate that.
Too much milk, too much cream often. Even if you get a regular coffee from Tim Hortons, often it's just drowned in cream. Way too much.
Do you guys drink Tim Hortons?
I do.
I drink their espresso. But the
Jimmy,
double
I don't know if your mic's working. I don't know if your mic's working.
It should be working. It says it is.
Oh, can you move it closer? To you, it is when you're moving it closer to you.
Moving closer, turn it down.
Okay, so we were talking about the board of directors for MLSE. It's one guy is the president of Bell Media, so that Mirko Bibic guy, a lawyer for Goodman's LLP, Edward Rogers, so Rogers Communication, the president of Rogers Communication, the chief financial officer of BCE and Bell Canada, the EVP Corporate Services of BCE and Bell Canada, and one more, Rogers person. So if anyone wants to know why MLSE turned down the WNBA, you'd call up anyone of Rogers or Bell executive. there you go. That's all you have to know.
Mm-hmm. Keith Pelley.
No, he's not there yet.
He's not there yet. Oh, okay,
but he's not on the board of directors, right? Mm. So there's eight board of directors, and I just wanted to give you guys, it's all Rogers. Basically what I'm saying, it's all Rogers, all Bell. who own MLSC, Wonga,
be careful,
right?
Wonga. What if Rogers or Bell are thinking about, you know, signing us up?
Well, then they'll
Now you've blown it.
It's in the newspapers. We know this. This is just all facts that people – I just want to make sure people understand who's running MLSC. That's all.
The evil empire.
No, I didn't say that. You said that, Craig Forrest. That was Craig Forrest who said that. Everyone, listen, Craig
it's
Forrest.
It's a very trying morning for MLSC, okay? They're having to the hockey department are having to front up to explain just what they're going to do to fix this mess. Okay,
Jimmy got a call. That's how desperate they are. Jimmy got a call to look at the Leafs. He hasn't got a call from TFC and MLSC, but the Leafs called him.
Yeah. Can you help us? Yes.
Do you see Sheldon Kennedy's Sheldon Keefe's video?
Yeah, I liked it.
It was classy.
Yeah, really good. I liked it.
But just honest, you. I didn't see it. Would you have done it? Would you have done it, Jimmy? Would you have gone on social media and say thank you, or would you have just gone off on your own? And
well, look, if I left an organization that I had good relationships with, and you know, we both kind of mutually went, yeah, it's not working, then yeah, of course you show your respect, say thank you. But I would never have thought of them doing social media the way that Kelvin did. But I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was really classy. He was honest and told the truth. You know, he said, I took him as far as I could, and we just couldn't get to where we needed to be. And now it's time to step aside.
You know,
it's not often you hear that.
I love that he does it. And the backdrop is this beautiful lake. He's probably at this cottage somewhere. And it's like, yeah, the boy. You know, it takes some time, pal. You've been through the grinder with these losers who are your players who don't give a shit and have let you down. Take some time at the cottage this summer. You'll get a job somewhere. You're a good coach, I think. So I like seeing that.
You're so harsh, Charms.
I'm sorry. They're a heartless bunch of losers.
Come on. They pulled it back to game 7. They lost in overtime.
They're just doing that purely to piss off the fans more so, Craig. Like, how can we make it as torturous as possible? We're going to lose. We all know that in the first round. But let's give them a little bit of hope, shall we? And then we'll just, you know, shit the bed when it counts. Sorry. No sympathy for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And then we'll do it again next year.
He's also wearing their $75 cap.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't Costco. This is Costco, about $15. Okay.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
I can guarantee you it's about $15 at Costco. I'm still a fan, though. Love that. Love that team. Love it.
Jimmy's a fan. Craig, yeah. You're not a fan. You're a fan of the Vancouver Canucks, aren't you?
Oh, the Vancouver Canucks that are still in the playoffs, you mean?
I knew there was going to be something good there.
Them's the ones. Without nice their number one contender. Yeah. Can't remember the last time I said it. All right, well, this is a soccer podcast. It's Footy Prime. Dubs may be joining us at some point. She's got a very busy morning. She will hope to jump on via... Oh, I heard a beep. Is that Dubs now?
Could be. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the new coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Amy Dubs Walsh.
Hey.
Hey, guys. How are you?
You at a coffee shop?
No, I am at Saint-Laurent Soccer Association's offices.
How do you manage that?
I know some people.
She's done.
Those losers?
Oh, stop it.
Hey, listen, we championed them this week. They're a great story. I'm just joking, of course.
Yes.
But why are you there? Can you give us a little tidbit? Is something happening here, Dubs?
Are you the head coach now?
That's correct. Divulge for the first time on Footy Prime. No, it's not. My mother-in-law is getting cataract surgery nearby, and I needed a quiet spot, and I know Rocco Placentino, the ex-Impact player, and he's the technical director for the association, and he was seen, I think, dancing at Claude Robillard the other night, and Rocco was kind enough to lend me the use of his facility.
That's great.
Maybe can I ask you something?
Sorry,
I was just going to say, Dubs, what's your mother-in-law's address?
Oh.
Because she wouldn't be able to catch me or see me if I'm breaking and entering. Just want to know.
It's far away from Saint-Laurent. Let's put it that way.
Can I be really cruel here? I feel guilty even saying this, but I've got to say it because I can't help myself. Maybe the Saint-Laurent goalkeeper needs cataract surgery.
No, I think he just needs to up his mental performance, stay engaged in the game.
That was cruel and uncalled for. I'm sorry.
It was unfortunate. I think the biggest thing with that match, I think Dubs really was in the second half, you could see the legs were getting tired.
Yeah.
St. Laurent were really struggling physically, and that's understandable. I'm sure a few of them were at work that day. But you know, a shift to the job site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see that tweet? I loved it. These guys have swagger. That tweet was to, hey, CPL Soccer, we heard you were looking for a club based in Quebec. Looks like a full house to us. Club local ambitions, national, merci Montreal. Isn't that great? I love that. Damn right. They should, you know, there's a good chance. Well, I have no idea whether it's going to be them. But obviously CPL are anxious to get a team in Quebec. And I love that Saint Laurent is going on the front foot here saying, hey, here we are. Let's do it. It's brilliant. Yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, the atmosphere there, the types of fans that showed up to support this club, I think is indicative that there's an appetite for that level of competition here. And they certainly have the talent pool to exploit in order to get a team and to compete immediately. So I think it's just a matter of time.
Where would they play, Dubs? Would they play at Claude Robillard?
Can you say that name again, Craig Forrest?
Claude Robillard?
Yes, not bad.
Not bad.
It's better than so Charm saying Saint Laurent. I like the Claude. Claude. It's perfect. Claude. Maybe. But I mean, there's some decent facilities here. It would just be about, you know, the respective associations finding their own. So if that CPL club piggybacked on a club that exists at the League One level, then I think that it would be up to them to find somewhere in their own kind of jurisdiction, as it were, their own region. Or if it's new money, a new club, and a new vision and badge, then maybe they would have kind of the pick, I guess, of the existing facilities. But other than Claude Robillard, there's not a whole lot of spaces available unless you look at what's going on in CIS and like universities and those types of facilities that aren't necessarily soccer specific, which is what we're severely lacking in this country, right? Not even talking about Quebec.
Yeah. Where is Saint Laurent?
It's north of the city.
So it's far from that stadium that they played in?
No, it's maybe like 20 minutes, 25 minutes north of the city, I guess.
Right.
Some people from Saint Laurent are probably going to fact check me. I'm a South Shore girl talking about Saint Laurent. My grandma used to live up here, so a little bit foggy about.
Is it like, it's like Springfield and what's the Simpsons, the town that's
Shelbyville.
Oh, yeah.
Shelbyville. Yeah. Is that the same, like, north and south?
Shelbyvillians. Kind of
yeah. But it's kind of, if you're familiar with the city, there's the 40 that's kind of north of the city, and that brings you kind of west towards, I guess, Toronto or east, and you're going kind of towards the tunnel. I'm terrible geography-wise, just situating myself. But it's just to say it's north of the city.
When you went to McGill for that 1 year,
yeah,
did you live at home or did you live downtown?
I did. No, I lived at home. And just drove in.
You were one of those that lived the real university life, sleeping on your mother's in your.
No,
in
one,
your
I love those girls because they always needed somewhere to sleep.
Aha! There we go.
Another level, another mischievous level.
Yeah,
Warmer had bunk beds everywhere.
I called it a bunk bed.
No, I drove this great kind of minty colored Toyota Corolla that we inherited from friends. That if you drove over 100 on the highway, the driver's side door would start to separate from the car and you could stick your hand out. But I beat the shit out of that car. It's standard. I loved it. It was very good to me.
And those were the days. Big weekend from Montreal.
Oh my God. That was, I don't, I'm trying to figure out. And those were the days. That was like Archie Bunker.
Yeah, Archie Bunker. It's Edith.
Edith, and Archie. Right.
Oh, that was a twang in your voice as you sang?
Mm hmm.
And what a reference.
Those were the days. Right? That one. That little racist. Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
Is that when you're at the piano or is that different song?
No, that's, okay. That's it. Yeah. It's the theme song, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They must be both dead now, right?
Gene like Stapleton and O'Connor. Something O'Connor.
Yeah. JP O'Connor.
Racialist O'Connor.
Carol.
Carol O'Connor, yes. Thank you. Ooh. Carol O'Connor. See, I didn't know who the man or the woman was because those names are fairly X level.
Right? And it was that era, like Francis, right? You're like, yes. Mr. or Ms.
It was Pat. Remember the old Pat skit from SNL?
I mean, it was based on an English show, though. Alf Garnett was the Archie Bunker in the original show, which was called, oh, Craig, you remember this?
Till Death Do Us Part.
Till Death Do Us Part, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the one. Again, very that similar
was,
character.
It was a little bit different. They had slightly different setup where he had a black gay maid, I think.
Yep, that's right.
Garnett. And then Archie Bunker had the Jewish boyfriend, Meathead.
That's right. That's the difference. Man.
So I was going to say, not quite as risque as the spinoff, Till Death Do Us Tart, which was entirely different thing. But it sounds risque. It sounds kind of cutting edge for the time.
Yeah. No, it was. And obviously, it was different era, different generation. You couldn't say half these jokes nowadays, but it was very much a satire. It was making fun of that.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you can't do that because people can't see through that, unfortunately. But yeah, it was a classic Alf Garnett. Anyway, yeah. This isn't about... He's actually a big West Ham fan. Yeah, exactly. Huge Hammer fan. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Always singing that, wasn't he? I'm forever blowing bubbles. God, I feel old now. Also dead, by the way. Big weekend in Quebec soccer, though, isn't it, Dubs? Leo Messi coming to town? Question mark? Mm-hmm. Is he going to play?
Well, we'll see when the social media kind of gets humming along, right? When they post who's getting on.
Celera has really average internet. So yeah.
Not, oh, are you not?
You just used all the data. Look.
Sorry, yeah. Are you not hearing me okay? Or am I
no, you enough? Just froze. You froze.
Okay, did she I look, like did I look good, though, when I froze? Or did I freeze did. Like...
No, it was one of those. It was the hamster. Yeah. If you gotta poke the hamster on the wheel to make sure you're getting enough energy out.
Poke the hamster. What the hell is that?
I probably yeah. Seriously, you know, they're on the wheel, is that like poking the bear? When it's poking the hamster?
Well, in Celera Soccer Club, they've spent all their money. So
right, I was gonna say I froze. Using a frame that you guys usually post for social media. Yeah. You know, like for the broadcast, all of us are kind of like. Eye half closed and like mouth agape, slightly slack jawed. It's like, yeah, this is great, guys. Awesome.
The Jean Chrétien keeping the Quebec theme going.
Right. When does CF Montreal, when does Miami, when do they have to give out their starting lineup and their reserves? What is the
hour timing of that?
An hour and a half before the match. So you won't know before an hour and a half, Dubs?
It's probably my internet. Probably just pregame longer.
Yeah.
Really, eh?
Yeah.
Is that close?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, listen, I mean, he's coming off that performance last week, right? He's healthy. Well, there's no reason why he wouldn't play. He is going to play some away games, right? Mm-hmm. So I would be confident if I'm going to that match this weekend, you're going to see Leo Messi in action. It's pretty exciting.
Dubs, are you allowed to get in the tunnel?
I don't think so.
You have to probably swear. You've got to swear upon. Up to him. See how much taller you are than him.
That'd be great. Get the Yao Ming picture.
Have, Messi. I have done, you guys. Like, we walked with Messi to the food court, or for lack of a better word, in the Olympic Village in Beijing.
How much taller are you?
I'm significantly taller than he is. At least a head taller, I feel like.
Did you feel like calling him Wee Man?
No, but I felt like kind of leaning over in a motherly way, even though I wasn't a mom.
Oh dear!
Oh no!
Oh, Dubs, just about to.
I'm gonna take a picture. Beans.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we should take a picture.
Oh, no,
no, we'll
again?
Come back.
We lost you again.
That was a great freeze.
Is this terrible? Am I as bad as Craig Forrest's internet old days?
No,
we are way worse. Oh, she's frozen again now.
Yes, you are, Dubs. You're his.
You may want to jump out and jump back in again. We'll try that, Dubs. Maybe try that.
One more time. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to find out what Messi had for lunch. That's what I want to find out in the food court.
Poutine?
No, I mean, what options are up? That's interesting conversation, actually. I find it interesting. You're at the Olympic Village. All these incredible athletes. What is an offer in the food court? I'm assuming there's no Manchu wok, for example, right? No Taco Bell. I wouldn't think. Or maybe there is. Who are the sponsors?
No Popeyes.
Dubs.
Well, you wouldn't need the wok at the end of Manchu wok. You would just say Manchu, right? If it was in China.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Is that what it means? I had no idea. Oh, you don't know?
It's our racist. It's our apartheid racist coming to the fore.
Dubs, at the Olympic Village food court, what kind of offerings do they have? All healthy, super healthy, high protein?
No, they had a number of different stations that you could go to, kind of international flavors, you know, that you could go and you could get like Chinese
stuff. But what about the food?
No, but you're onto something there, Sharms. It was a little bit of a meat market.
You know, he's trying to get his pies in there, Dubs. That's why he's asking you.
I'm interested.
Yeah. That'd be the next one. Was there any pies by any chance in the evening?
Yeah.
That's right. That was the phrase, though, to get yourself, to get your name in the mix. Like, can I get my pie in there? No. But there was... There was a McDonald's at the end of the food court, right? With a McCafe, which I feel like was kind of new at the time. And the U.S. men's basketball team was always there, like all those big superstars, right?
What a cliche. Americans at McDonald's.
Yes.
In a different country. Like, for Christ's sakes, when in Rome, you know?
Yeah.
What did Messi have? Did you follow him and see what he ate?
No, we never followed them. But you would get a glimpse of certain people like chowing down, and you would see the difference between like your weightlifters and your sprinters and the people who needed like the high protein and like the X number of calories a day just to kind of sustain themselves. And you would like catch a glimpse of them and just sort of stare, like you wouldn't want to, but like it was impossible not to because they're just inhaling food. And I remember one time coming into the food court, we saw Serena and Venus Williams. And like to see Serena's ass in all of its glory and all of its power in like a pair of sweats, it was incredible. It was awe-inspiring.
Was it eating her pants?
No, it was glorious. It was so big and powerful.
Did you think about flipping a quarter off it?
No, I didn't. But I feel like I followed her for a little while, the vegan, probably over to a station that I would never go to. But I just followed her so I could just kind of take it all in.
Did you brush against her to see how hard it was? Oops,
I didn't, but you could tell just like what, I mean, just to be up close to these physical specimens, right? Because soccer players come in all shapes and sizes, and you're seeing more and more, right? Whether you're wee and wiry or you're tall and imposing and everything in between. But then again, you see these specific athletes or like a Usain Bolt, and you see these people up close. It's pretty remarkable.
I bet you could rest your tray from McDonald's on her ass, couldn't you?
Yeah, you probably incredible. Could. Yeah,
cut out of granite.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what's the food like? We had a food card. Was it just available, or surely you didn't pay for it?
No. So, when you're at the like Pan Am Games or the Olympics or even the World Cup, and Forrest and Jimmy will know this, like you cannot be anywhere without your accreditation. And then on your accreditation, like the lanyard, and then it has your picture and like a barcode, and then the country that you're with. You also had a couple of almost fobs that were on it that would grant you access into various facilities. Mm.
And she go.
There, she's frozen.
She's frozen again. But I think we got enough. We got a good concept of what the food court was like at the Olympic Village.
Yes.
I find that kind of stuff interesting. And no one else does, probably.
No. Did I cut out again? Sorry.
Yeah, you did.
You did. You got as far as the fobs.
I once pitched a television show called it was food courts, food halls, and something else. But it was basically it was that, because I'm obsessed with that, James Sharman. Like the food stalls over like in other countries are just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like different food courts with different types of food.
Yeah,
like
that's a great idea. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You go to like Asia.
Who wouldn't want to watch that? Yeah,
I would your watch choice that. Of
okay.
I had an idea for a show. Actually, my friend Scott Constance, if he's listening, he does sometimes. He had a great concept. It's called Buffet Destroyers, and you go to a buffet and it's competition, and you do the pre-weigh. You weigh yourself in before you go in the buffet, and then you weigh yourself coming out of the buffet, and whoever weighed more.
Coming up after Buffet Destroyers, it's Bathroom Destroyers.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a great concept, though. I'd watch that as well. Just see these fat pigs just stuffing themselves. And I bet you guys would win.
And they leave the toilets outside. You have to go by the scale to go outside. So they're like,
well, they also put the scale on the toilet.
Get on that scale before you go out.
Do they also put the porta potty on a way on a scale?
Oh.
So then we also weigh that.
I would love to see it. I would love to be in a buffet and watch when a sumo wrestler comes in. Just to see the face of the people that own it. They must be like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, get ahead of him in line.
Yeah.
But generally, the ones that can eat the most are like the stick skinny guys.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it?
Like Joey Chestnut eating a 1,000 hot dogs in 40 seconds.
Sounds like me on a Saturday night.
You have to think of from a life expectancy standpoint, he's probably not living a long life, Joey Chestnut, right?
No. No,
I wouldn't think so.
Neither is JC when he's leaving the steam house after that Saturday night.
No.
Yeah, more organs in me than out.
Walking out of that place right. Like John Wayne.
John Wayne?
Like he just got off a horse.
That was like,
where did the horse get off me, eh? Pilgrim.
It's like Sharp's talking about which Wizard of Oz character would Sheldon Keefe be, and then it devolved as it normally devolved. Does on the dark web, and he said something about though. Dorothy won't be able to click her heels together.
I've given her a good scene too.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a good conversation. I thought I enjoyed that last night. I reread it actually this morning, and I was still laughing. It was good.
Yeah,
maybe we'll at our live event on June the 6th, we'll read some dark web material out.
About that? No, let's not do that. No,
I think our Wizard of Oz conversation was, although disgusting and inappropriate, it wasn't offensive.
I think it was highly offensive.
Bit, yeah.
Unless you're a scarecrow.
You'd be a little bit offended.
Forgot about the scarecrow part. Yeah.
Lovely.
Soccer. Champions League. We've got to get to this Real Madrid, Bayern Munich.
Wow.
Match from Wednesday. I don't know how Real Madrid keep on doing this. There's never been a team that doesn't believe it's out more than Real Madrid. They just find a way, it seems, Craig, every season to get to the point where they're going to, they're done and dusted,
yeah.
And something happens. And in this case, it's the Neuer howler, which just doesn't really happen ever. Mm-hmm. And then they finish it off with another goal, 2-1. There's a very controversial offside goal waved off late for Bayern. In the end, Real Madrid win to another final, 6 in 11 years.
Unbelievable. You know, I felt bad for Neuer because the ball did hop up a little bit, even though the pitch is absolutely perfect, but I thought it did skip up a little bit higher than he thought it would. And so that caught him a little bit higher in the chest. But I mean, it's on him. That's bottom line, is somebody as good as he's been over the years, it's down to him and he'll take responsibility for it. But it did have some sympathy for him.
Do we feel sorry for Harry Kane, Jimmy? Are we supposed to?
No, why? Not at all. Not at all.
The problem with Harry, there's no problem. He did his part this season. That's the incredible thing. He's just he's the bad luck charm.
Yeah. He does it all, doesn't he? He scores goals.
Yeah,
he plays great football. Yeah. He's a good player. He's a great player. He's maybe the best number nine in the world.
Yeah.
Can't win a trophy.
Yeah, if that goal counted late on and they went on to win it, the whole storyline could change. Yeah. But it didn't.
And he started off so well, didn't he, at Bayern?
Yeah.
Scoring goals and thought, he's probably thinking, we're going to win the league, my first trophy, and then... Wah, wah.
He's the Toronto Maple Leafs of the football world.
At least he comes close. Got to the semifinals.
Yeah.
If you want to revisit the Maple Leafs' recent history, it's the first fucking round! But yeah, I feel sorry for Harry Kane, because, he seems like a really good dude. Family man, down to earth, but he's becoming a bit of a laughing stock just because he hasn't won trophies despite being this incredible talent, which isn't on him, right? It's not his fault. He's not missing chances that are costing his team's trophies. His teams just seem to capitulate.
And he's made it to a final before.
That's right. Champions League final, yeah.
Yeah.
Euro final.
Yeah. Euro final too. That's right, yeah. Listen, this summer, it could change the narrative,
just
right?
He can't win a trophy.
He can't win anything. He just gets there. He's that guy that runs that that marathoner just collapses just before the finish line. Just can't get over it. He's cramped up and he's like, fuck. It's so
Let me ask you, if you're the second place person in those, are you the person picking him up and pushing him over the line? Or are you going to overtake him? Let me ask this from the professional athletes here. Dubs, would you, you're a good sports person, sports woman, right? I can see you stopping and picking up the collapsed would-be champion and pushing them through the tape or not? Are you going to say, fuck you, too bad?
No, I feel the context. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I was going to say, I think it depends where you are in the race as well. If you're going for first, you're fucking jumping over him.
But I think you're
25, 26, you'd be like, ah, come on, you're out.
So let's break down the scenario, okay? So it's the last 100 meters of the marathon, for example, right? And let's just say a Kenyan's winning, because he probably is, right? and he's booing towards the line. He's 5 feet from the line, collapses, cramp, whatever it is, collapses. He's screaming in agony. And you're like 25 meters behind him in second place. There's no one behind you. And you see the tape. And you're going to get there, right? But do you cross, do you jump over him to get there? Or do you pick him up and become a legend, but a loser?
I'd pick him up and then do a moonwalk in front of him, right over the line.
So you do both, but you ensure that you cross the line first?
Yeah.
And rub it in.
Just carrying him and just dipping the shoulders over.
Yeah, just I'm backing over the line with him holding on to him.
As you whisper in his ear, don't worry, I've got you, but I'm fucking winning this thing.
Yeah, that's right.
You should have joined harder.
I think I'm going to add a layer of context, because I think if you're 25 meters out, I think as much as I want to win and I can be ruthless, that's enough time to say, this person was clearly going to beat me. They had me beat. I picked them up and I helped them over the line and they win. But if we're kind of neck and neck, or they've got a couple of steps on me, I think I saw something go by on social media where a guy's got 5 meters on somebody else behind in a marathon or like a 10K, jumps up to celebrate and almost breaks his ankle, collapses, and the other person's immediately behind him and passes them and then wins. I think I would do the same. But if it was...
Oh,
that's a picture.
It was going so long. It's a great freeze frame, though.
Yeah, take that one.
I think we know what Dubs is saying there.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we've got you now, yeah.
So earlier in the race, I'll go quick. If somebody veers right instead of veering left to stay on course, I would say, no, no, no. Like, I would help them, you know? But if it's right at the end of the race, I'm taking my chances and I'm going and then maybe going back to help them up. But I'm crossing that line first. Because at the very end.
So far, two of our three professional athletes would say, to hell with you.
Contextually.
I'm going to win this race. Craig would really rub it in. Dubs would be a bit more classy. Jimmy.
I wouldn't even look at him. Just go straight past him. I'm going for glory.
I agree, because preparing yourself for, say, a marathon, in this case, 26 miles or whatever it is, if someone cramps up with 5 meters left, that's too bad. They haven't prepared properly, have they? They haven't hydrated properly or something.
They should have trained that little bit more, shouldn't
they? Yeah, right, like you did.
It's a 26 miles and what, 200 meters. That's the extra 200 meters is the one that kills you.
It's the point two. You have to plan better for the point two.
See him on the ground yelling at his coach. There's another 200 meters.
What?
No one told me it was 26.2. Those 26.
Just lying there frozen, cramped up. You asshole.
What a bunch of pricks.
I wouldn't be running a marathon in the first place.
Yeah, well, is that, yeah. And you have an aspiration to run a marathon? Someone here must have an aspiration to run a marathon. No, nothing, none. Hey? Really?
None.
There's nothing
I've been
me.
To a marathon. I went to the Vancouver Marathon. It was the day that I moved there in 2013, and my friend was competing in it. And I, the starting lineup, whatever, they went off. I went to the bar. I got really drunk and I met them at the finish line. I'm like, yeah.
5 hours later.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I've eaten the marathon. They're called Snickers over here.
Yeah.
That's true. It's true. That's not stupid. It's true. Marathon bars are called Snickers over here. And over there, they're called marathons.
I feel like Sharmzy would be like that Rosie, I forget her last name, woman in the New York City Marathon who took a cab and brought herself towards the finish line and only ran like 5K.
Rosie Ruiz took a subway, didn't she?
I think she took a cab. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She kind of circumvented the whole thing and just like showed up at the end. Hey, I'm the champion.
Yeah. You can't get away with that now.
Rosie, you're looking awfully fresh faced.
Yeah. But she was also super unathletic looking. Like,
she had a
hot dog. Like she was overweight. She was very thin and didn't look like, hey, you can run a marathon. It looked like she could go for, you know, a workout, 20-minute workout more than. I think she was wearing full
work,
like sweats and like, what are they, leg warmers? She wasn't really like the bandana.
Rosie Chestnut, I think her name was.
She was trying too hard to look like a marathon runner to the point where she didn't look like a marathon runner.
Perhaps, yes.
Oh, we wear headbands and leg warmers. Yeah, that'll do. Jump in the cab.
Hey, you know. Listen to this, right? Because Jess loves to run marathons. So she ran the 20, I think, was it 25 or something like that? What's a half? 20?
So she doesn't like to run marathons.
Yeah, she doesn't like to run marathons.
No, she loves to run them, right? But she did the half. I think the one before that, she did the full. I can't remember what it was.
She likes to watch them.
Half is 20K.
She was running. I went to support her. So I'm watching this. But there was this guy with this sign that I had to stand beside. And I thought it was brilliant. Can you read what it says?
1 out of 50 poop
their pants.
Their pants. Are you that one? Is that true? Half of marathoners shit themselves.
Well, that's not half. It's 1 out of 50.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so 1 out of 50. Sorry, yes.
Jesus, your math is.
Yeah, well, I'll be surprised. Your
pants, are you that
that's
one?
2%. There you go. Okay, I'll do 2%, the math for you.
And that was at the 20K mark in the race. I was dying.
It leaves more than a 20K mark.
Very well done, Dubs.
Yeah, very well done. They didn't freeze on that one, aren't you? Eh?
No.
Yeah, I just marathoners don't look healthy to me. They don't. They look too skinny. Don't you think? Like a sprinter or 400. Like,
well, not too skinny. They look
built.
They look perfectly proper to run a marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know,
0% body fat.
Yeah. Yeah. Light in the heels. Yeah. I guess so. But yeah, no interest in doing that whatsoever.
Hey, Dubs, is it a sellout at Stud Saputo tomorrow?
I think it should be once we get.
Oh, God.
Once we get what?
Let's finish your sentence. Once we get the official numbers. Yeah.
Clean our underwear.
Yeah, walk-up day. Yeah. If there's any empty seats and the announcement's made that he's playing, then the walk-up will obviously fill.
That's it. That's what I was saying. It's not as of yet, but I imagine at kickoff it will be. But the remaining seats are exorbitantly priced.
Like on the resale market?
Sorry.
I imagine. I think that there was.
There was lots of enthusiasm about filling.
JC, you getting all these pictures?
Okay, I'm gonna jump out and jump back in.
Okay.
All right, but yeah, I imagine it'll be packed, and I imagine there'll be people spending lots of money to see Leo Messi in person. And I expect the way Montreal's playing right now, and given their week from hell, Miami could rout them. It's been a bad week for CF Montreal, hasn't it?
Kind of a stupid week.
Kind of started with the Schwannier trade request leak, right? And then last week's performance. And then, of course, the big news this week, which when Dubs returns, is she going to return at any time now? We'll get into a little bit with their, who was it again? Sorry, their director of soccer, right?
Olivier
Renard.
Yeah. We'll try and get some inside scoop on that when Dubs returns.
If she's allowed to talk about it, she might have to do a DQO.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's a good point. Right.
She does. Yeah. She does work for CF Montreal.
The old Deech. Hey, Deech, time's in TFC. All right, I'll be right back in 10 minutes. You can't.
He does the slow return into the bush like Homer.
Hey, Deech, by the way, Sean Deech got manager of the month.
Yeah, good for him.
Amazing. As Jimmy said. And Cole Palmer, player of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And what I remember about Chelsea is that Jimmy was going on about how Chelsea, once they get it together, they're going to be very difficult to stop. And they've gone from, what, 12th to 7th?
Yeah,
and really showing some success.
Is it enough, Jimmy, to save Pochettino's job?
I think so, because I think there is a master plan there. When you've got that many young players, and I think that's where the The coach and the owner, they've got to sit down and say, okay, that's fine if you want to go with this really, really young squad, but don't expect me to win anything just yet. This is going to be a progress, and it's going to take some time for these players to gel before they really understand the culture, philosophy, and recreate an identity. And I think in the next year, 2 years, I think they're going to be very, very competitive because they are fun to watch. They really are fun to watch, and they're young. What a young squad they have.
Hey, Dubs back now. Hey, Dubs, sorry, we were just quickly talking about Steve Montreal's week from hell. I know you can't talk too much about it. What is the latest, though, that you can talk about?
Well, we posted yesterday, I imagine you've covered this, that the club put out a statement that Olivier Renard is officially parted ways with the club. Vasily Kremenzidis, the assistant sporting director, is also gone. So Gabriel Gervais, the current president, will be assuming the sporting role until such a time, or on an interim basis until such a time they hire somebody else. So, I mean, there's 3 months until the next window, so it's probably not an immediate concern, but what we talked about yesterday, Ollie, Brett, and I, on CF Montreal, three questions where you get all your Montreal news. We talked about the fact that the next sporting director needs to have a similar vision, not necessarily in the type or the game model or the philosophy that they espouse, but in the vision that they have that includes the development of local players and pushing players through the academy onto the first team. I think that has to be part of their identity as they come in, whoever it may be.
Rough few days, though. Nothing would solve that than a nice victory over Inter Miami, right? But let's see the odds. Let's see the odds here. Let me fire this up very quickly here. Feel free to keep talking about anything else, people.
Well, while we're talking about it, should we get to a looky-likey?
Yeah, why not?
Yes, we should.
Let's do it!
It's the fun you'll ever have in the night. Trust me, just do it. And you look for looky-likey. Brilliant. Brilliant fun. Love looky-likeys. Looky-likeys over there, left. No, but the little kind of subliminal ones are the best balls. The best looky-likey I've ever had. And you look for looky-likey.
It's that Chris Martin.
Yeah, Chris Martin of Coldplay and a young Craig Forrest.
Oh. 7 seconds, JC. Don't play it too long.
The mouth is very similar.
Yeah.
It is similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
The hair as well.
Craig, can you play any instrument other than your schlong?
He holds it like a recorder.
That's right. That's why he's so flexible. Yeah,
Craig Forrest on skin flute.
Yeah.
Smile on my face.
Very good.
One before. I've heard that before. My sister has actually said that she thought I look like Martin.
Oh, Martin, is it?
Hey, this Marty? Is gonna be a TV show at some point, you know, because people are missing out. We gotta can you remember to post that when we
that'll be our promo today.
Okay, the promo, and also when we put it on the website, the link to the on the podcasts on wearefootyprime.com. Let's use that picture as the picture.
Mm.
You know, that comes associated with the actual podcast because it's really good.
16 and a half year old Craig Forrest.
I was trying to find a joke with yellow in it, but I just couldn't think of it. La Vida Loca.
What?
The scientist.
That's Ricky Martin.
Mm-hmm. Is it
Viva? Craig, Viva La Vida. A bit Viva like Ricky Vida, Martin. You're thinking of.
Viva, yeah. Yes, thank you.
La Vida Loca.
I wish I looked like
upside down, living La Vida Loca.
That's right. It is.
Craig Forrest bum. Living La Vida Loca.
You know what I mean.
No, I didn't know what you mean.
No, there's a Coldplay song by Dubs, and it's very similar to that.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah. Viva right. La Vida.
Viva.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Mm-hmm. There we go.
It's very anthemic. I love that song.
Who's aged better, Craig Forrest or Chris Martin? I'd say Craig Forrest.
Oh, fuck. Ooh. I doubt it. I'll say Chris Martin.
Is he still...
They're both still very fresh-faced.
He's not married anymore to Gwyneth Paltrow.
No.
Chris Martin, Craig Forrest.
No, there was a conscious uncoupling. Remember, Sharms?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember something about that, some nonsense.
Yes, they coined that kind of annoying phrase.
Uncoupling?
No, he's with God, her name's escaping me now. She was in 50 Shades of Grey. Anybody help me?
Emma Blunt.
Actress? No.
Emily Blunt.
She's lovely.
Scarlett Johansson.
Jenna Jameson.
No. Ooh.
Oh, Christ. No. Anyway, he's with an actress. Has been for the last couple of years.
Okay. Well, he likes the actresses, doesn't he, apparently? Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Down to earth types.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Okay, should we get some flaccids?
We're already 42 minutes in.
Yeah, okay. I think flaccid should be, we shouldn't commit to four each week. We just do a few, right? We call it flaccid four.
Yeah. Yeah. Flaccid four.
Got a really chair. Woo! That's what
they call it. Flaccid four. Footy Prime presents this flaccid four. Oh, right in the moment.
Sorry, not tonight, honey.
Props are helpful when you're dancing, aren't they? I love a prop.
They are. So listen, you assholes. So I think earlier in the day, listen, flaccid fours, any volunteers? And no one volunteered. And then let me finish. I know you did. I know you did. And I appreciate
that. So indignant.
No one volunteered for hours and hours and hours. In the end, I said, okay, you know what? Thanks a lot, guys. And I delegated, boom, boom, boom. You guys are doing it. And then everyone started volunteering. So I think we have like 6 flaccid fours available to us. Okay.
You get to choose. Sure. Yeah, but as you get to choose your top two.
Craig can start the party here.
Okay? You want me to start?
Yeah.
What is the best sporting event you've been to? A game, a final, you know, whatever the importance to this, a particular match or race outside of football. So no soccer related events. Sharms, what's the best sporting event you've been to?
I don't know. okay. Probably 1994, I think it was. It was the conference finals. It was the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Leafs San Jose Sharks. And it was overtime game 5. And I believe it was Mike Gartner racing up the right wing, blasting it past Artis Erbe, I think it was. Ooh. The San Jose. And the Leafs won. I think they won the series. It's a bit of a murky memory, as you can tell, but it was incredible. I think it's my first Leaf playoff game. Haven't been that many since.
Was that at the Maple Leaf Gardens?
Yeah, at the Gardens. And yeah. The place exploded. It was incredible. I just loved it. It was just, and that's kind of got me like hooked on hockey. I'm pretty sure it was 94, but I could be, who knows, 10 years out. The old memory's not like it used to be, but it was brilliant. Mike Gardner scored that.
It might have been 94. 94, I think they played St. Louis, did they, in the playoffs?
Yeah, some Dougie Gilmore scored that double wraparound goal in overtime in, I think, Game 4. It was one of the great moments too. Fantastic goal.
Yeah, I remember that. That was
beat Cujo and Golfin back in those days.
That's right. That's right. I like that, Sharms.
Thank you.
I give you 10 points.
Woo-hoo! Nice start.
How about you, Dubs?
Mine is also
pretty cool events.
I have. Mine, I was thinking like Usain Bolt at the track, at the Bird's Nest, but I'm going to go kind of more locally inspired and warm and cuddly and fuzzy family memories. It was the first, and I think my only hockey game at the Forum. And my dad took me, just me and my dad. And so being one of five, like that was a big deal that I got to go just with my pops. And we sat up in the nosebleeds. Our vision was partly obscured by a pole, but just being in that storied building and like understanding, I followed the team. I was a sports person, even as a 10-year-old, just to be there with my dad and get to experience that, I think was probably one of my first ever live sporting events. So I'll never forget it. So I'd say my first Habs game at the Old Forum.
Love it. That's 15 points because you're
yes.
You put some thought into it.
Well, I did too.
Fuck you, Charms.
Wonger, how about you?
Yeah, I wasn't a big go to an event guy, so I'm going to tell you a story about. No, the biggest thing I've seen on television.
That's
though,
a load of like that's a.
No,
load
I, ne- of I never.
Shit
I
I'm not an event
I
guy. Please,
it's not that. It's just we didn't. My family didn't go to these things. We didn't have a lot of money. We didn't have access to it. So.
Sympathy votes.
No, seriously,
came from poverty.
Minus five. Not,
I'm going to give you the event though. It was. I was with my buddy Steph and his new girlfriend, and Craig knows Steph, and it was watching the 1996 4x1 relay team, Canada beat the U.S. And it was Robert Esme, Glenroy Gilbert, Bernie Sturin, and Donovan Bailey. And the reason why it was just American dominance finally being crashed down. And the personalities were so different on that relay team. It was really looked kind of cool. Brash Donovan, very, soft-spoken Glenroy. Robert Esme had the blast off in his forehead, in his hair. And Bruni.
Mo Green, you know, in the States, right?
Yeah, yeah, Bruni, but kind of representing a lot of Canada. Bruni coming from Haitian roots in out of Quebec. Bruni's actually, I'm going to reach out to him. He's on my LinkedIn. We're going to get him on before because he's chef de mission, right? Chef de mission for the Olympic team. And we should have him on before. So that was favorite because we literally were so excited about that. And it was another Saturday. There was the 100 final and the following Saturday was that final too. So everyone, we were so excited about following it and watching it. So there's my Canadian.
Who was the US for? It was Mo Green.
No, Mo Green wasn't on it yet. It was Dennis Mitchell. No, it was Dennis Mitchell, John Drummond, and I don't know the two other guys yet, but I'll remember. Right. Yep. Yeah, but we crushed them.
I'll give you 8 for that because you weren't actually there.
No, but yes. I appreciate it. I didn't go to the matches or games.
Steph's new girlfriend played no role in that whatsoever. I don't know.
But it's because I didn't want it to seem weird that it was me and Steph in one room. Just the whole time.
It wouldn't have been weird at all. I often watch sports with a friend.
Yeah.
Without any shenanigans happening.
He was there, though. That's why. Yeah, it was my first three-way. Is that what you want
to say? Okay, now it's okay. Sorry,
no, it was not.
That's an event.
How about you, Jimmy? Did you last over the 100 meters?
It was a tangent, so I could talk about that event.
9.84. Canadian record at the time.
Yeah, that's how long I lasted.
That's how many points.
Wonger's got no finish.
Oh, I've got full finish, but nothing in between.
He dipped too soon.
Yeah. For that, Wonger, I'll give you 20 points.
Thank you. My thruple.
Good comeback. Jimmy, how about you?
I think, I saw the Raptors in the playoffs in 2019. And that atmosphere in the stadium was absolutely electric. I've never seen anything like it before. The place was rocking. But the one event that really stands out, and you might laugh at me here, and I think it was 2018, I went and watched Monster Truck at the Rogers Center. And it blew me away. I didn't think I'd be that engaged, but I was that guy standing up, clapping, going mental every time their trucks were flipping. And to start it, they had, you know, the motocross bikes where they do all the jumps and they're flying off the back.
Amazing.
What an event. And the place was packed. Must have been about 50,000 there. So I went and got myself a Gravedigger truck t-shirt. And I was right in.
Is that why you own a Jeep?
What?
Is that why you own a Jeep?
Yeah, put me on the Jeeps.
Still Jimmy, how old were you, Jimmy?
Maybe 27? Yeah, 26 or 25.
Okay.
No, I got right into it. I'm telling you. I was hooked.
Do you remember when at Skydome that truck went into the crowd?
Yeah, I wasn't there for that one.
I was there for that one in like 92 or something, early 90s. It went off the course and went into the crowd. And I think some people were injured. It was pretty terrifying.
Oh, no. It's incredible. Well,
it wasn't Gravedigger, thankfully. Otherwise, would have been worse. But
no,
it was pretty
literally
anxious moments.
Gravedigger.
Handy as well.
Gravedigger.
Hold them in the back. While we're here, we may as well just bury them.
Just fulfilling the narrative.
Gravedigger.
And after the Toronto show. It was actually a league, and the final was in Vegas, and I came close to flying to Vegas to watch the final.
Wow.
You lost some points with that last bit, exactly.
No, I did. I was such a loser. Yeah, my kids are like, okay, Dad, like, it's all right. And I was like, no, that was amazing. That was amazing.
Wow.
The best event he's ever been at. Isn't that
guy that's played at Gold Cups, played for his country.
Yeah, but he couldn't pick that.
No, but he went to a monster
truck Bristol rally. Forest, Norwich, Norwich.
Yeah,
that Raptors run was fun though too.
Yeah. Raptors was amazing. What an atmosphere! It was so good, but I got more joy out of monster truck.
-5.
I like that. -5. Yeah. I just quite like it though. Don't you think? It's made us.
No, it's Craig. Different. Craig, you get to call it
7. Right.
Yeah. 7.2. Yeah, I get punished for telling the truth.
He gets wounded. He feels wounded. He does. Doesn't he? Sometimes
we mock his life.
JC, how about you? You've been to a few events.
This one, because it was just like the most like surreal thing, and I knew nothing about it, and I was so a fish out of water, but it was great. It was the 27th of February 2016.
Porn
third
tryout?
Round. What's that?
Porn tryout.
Yeah, that wasn't very sport, eventful. Right? That was definitely not that eventful.
That'd have been 30.
Twickenham, Six Nations Cup, third round, England versus Ireland. I knew almost nothing about rugby, but I knew that I was with my buddy Graham, who worked for this company, so we had like back VIP access. So we sat and went to our seats. First of all, going through it is amazing because the whole town is like going crazy. Had the best food I've ever had, the best sandwich ever. And then people are just drinking in the streets. The pubs are spilling out. It's amazing. The atmosphere is insane. I'd never experienced anything like it. Still haven't. Then at the game, we're there and we're sitting in our seats. We're like, this is okay, whatever. But then we get to go back to like this room. It's like, it's where there's a bar and all these tables and there's gigantic men in suits, huge, huge dudes. I'm like, this must be like where the bouncers hang out. He's like, no, this is where the ex-players hang out. I'm like, oh. So we're in like this special VIP room and there's like royalty there and there's all these old players. And on the bar, there's just lines and lines and lines of Guinness and lagers. You just go up, you grab one, you chug it, and you grab another one, just keep going. And then I was talking to my friend Graham and I. We just strike up a conversation with this couple. And we're just hanging out, chatting. And I asked this guy, I'm like, so what do you do? He's like, oh, I'm a radio presenter. I'm like, yeah, me too. No biggie. Whatever. So it turns out this guy's name is Greg James. Greg James apparently is like one of the number one presenters on like BBC or something like that. I had no idea. So we exchanged like, you know, contacts and when we were leaving after the game, it was super awesome. We went back to the seats. We're like, fuck this. We went back and just kept drinking. And so we're back on the train and I tweeted out to like, hey, great to meet Greg James and his girlfriend or whatever, so-and-so. And then I get a call and it's his girlfriend saying, hey, can you please take that tweet down? We skipped my grandmother's funeral to be here. So Greg James, guess what? You're out of the bag now.
But, yeah. So, which again, to our previous conversation a few weeks ago, you can never trust someone with two first names as their name.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Someone that would skip his girlfriend's grandmother's funeral.
So like a Jeff Cole?
Yeah. Yes. Now you mention it. I guess. Yeah. Cole Jeff. Well, Jimmy Brennan. Brennan.
Oh, yeah.
Brennan
now.
Johnson.
Oh, now, yeah.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. 12-point. Craig Forrest. Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Craig, or what do you give JC?
12.
Yeah. Nice. I'll take it.
Not that far behind.
You have one, Craig?
Jimmy?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they had
so
a few.
Sour.
I was going back to when Jimmy mentioned the Raptors, it's hard to get past the Kawhi, the shot against Philadelphia. Me and Paul Pescusolito were right behind that at the stadium, thanks to Alex McKechnie for getting us those tickets. And when that shot went up, we could hear the ball bounce on the rim. I don't know how many times it hit, once, two, like five times before it went in. It was like silence. You could actually hear it hit the rim bouncing around. And when it went in, the explosion in that stadium was something I'd never really heard before, except for maybe when DiCanio hit the volley against Wimbledon and in the Premier League. But it was amazing. It was very, very special.
That's pretty great.
I'll give myself 15 points for that.
No argument for me. Solid story.
It was a great story.
So who's actually, going? I got something. So that the famous picture of him all crouched down, it was a guy I went to high school took that picture. His name's Mark Blinch. He's a photographer for
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the Star.
So he was working for the Star, so he wasn't independent. So
no,
I don't think so.
And... it might have been, but I don't know. But he's the one who took that picture.
Such
you
a
see him,
picture.
You see him behind sometimes behind the thing. But yeah, we had photography class together. I used to go out and smoke, and he used to actually take pictures.
That picture that he took, my good friend Ozzy, which some of you guys know, he's actually in that picture. He blew it up, and when you go down into his basement to his bar, it's massive, and he's got it circled of himself.
Really? In that picture. You know our friend Richard Garner?
Yes.
That when the Jays won the
That's
World
a great
Series
story
for the first
too,
time,
yeah.
Yeah, and the pitch invasion, so to speak, he was one of the first guys out there, I think, isn't he? And there's a picture of there, and there's Garner.
Yeah, he was one of the guys who got through, because you know how the security guards start tagging people, and they're like, oh, I've got that guy? Rich actually got through and was like cheering on right at the by the home plate with Joe Carter.
I remember at Sportsnet. Right. Sportsnet were going to do a promo or thought about doing a promo, Wonger, about that. And we hire guys, you know, or that this into sports, you know. But they thought maybe we shouldn't be sort of pushing the fact that he ran on the pitch. But when that was when who hit the home run?
Joe Carter.
Yeah. Pardon?
Joe Carter.
When Joe was rounding second, so was Richard.
Yeah, that's right. It's already out there.
Unbelievable. And he got into the stadium for free, because he knows how to get into the arena in that stadium for nothing. And to this day, he could still get through a certain way without paying.
Wow. Hmm. Was that the Ricky Henderson on that team, or was it the year after?
Well, that was Ricky Henderson.
Okay, because I know a guy that was a reporter or a producer, and he was going in, I think, the day after they won the World Series, and Ricky was staying at the hotel at the Sky Dome, I believe. That's where he lived. And he came in, had some interview planned or something around there. And door opens, there's Ricky Henderson in this leather thong. And there's just, there'd been a party, let's put it that way. And he thought, Ricky, where did it all go wrong? Quite a good time. I think
Ricky always spoke in third person. He'd be like, oh, Ricky doesn't want to do an interview today.
Yeah.
Well, here's
Ricky
a guy that
remember much from the night before.
His first check, his first bonus check, was for $1 million, right? Now, at the end of the season, the accounts are going over the books, and they realize they're $1 million out, and they can't figure out, where is this $1 million gone? It turns out Ricky hadn't cashed a check. He put it in a frame in his house or his apartment and hadn't cashed the check. So there's $1 million sitting there. They had so much money, didn't realize.
Yeah.
That's the urban myth. We'll see if it's true or not when we get sued.
Well, I know that's a true story. It's a true story for many things. But some of those baseball players, when they do get their checks, they have a reputation for not cashing them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Nice position to be in, eh?
Yeah, not bad. Mm. Just the mill. Just the mill. Let's do one more, shall we?
The MILF?
Didn't say MILF. Shall we do one more?
Yeah, one more.
We've got supporters. Should we go supporters here?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
We love our
supporters.
Do it.
Okay, here it is. All right. So on June the 6th, the world will be forever changed as the Footy Prime crew and supporters club descend on Nickel 9 Distillery. What is a recipe, cocktail, food, or a move on the dance floor that you invented? Tell us a story, when, where, how, and of course, what was it called? That's a good one there. Wonger.
Kerry Ryan will always say that I, and David Amber too, that I high five too much when I'm drinking. But I have to tell you, high fiving is my way of saying welcome to the in crowd. Welcome to Wonger's circle of fun. And so if you are high fiving with Wonger, and this is Ricky Henderson,
yeah,
while we're drinking, I'll high five at a all you could eat buffet when someone. My girlfriend got mad at me the other day because I was yelling across the street at 9 a.m. at some cops, calling them names, but in the nice way. So she goes, "What are you doing?" I go, she goes, you're yelling at policemen. I go, yeah, but I'm making them laugh. So a high five is the welcome. So I think I didn't invent the high five. I just invented that inclusive high five that is allows everyone to have let go, build some bridges, and enjoy themselves and laugh. So there you go.
This is 4.5.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. I gave myself a 4.5.
What is a recipe, a cocktail, food, or move on the dance floor that you invented?
That was I invented the inclusive high five. I just
on the dance floor?
Anywhere. It says dance floor means a bar.
Can you eat it or can you drink it?
Oh my God. All right. I failed. Wonger fail. Ricky Henderson fail.
He's still at 4.5 points because we all like the high five.
I don't know if you do.
No, we do because I like it coming because you always see it coming towards you with the bent finger. And it's like, okay, Wong is in his element now. You'll see it on June the 6th, everyone, if you join us. And we'll have information about that very, very soon where you can purchase tickets. In fact, they might be available now.
So Dave Amber, a month ago on my birthday or 3-4 weeks ago, happy birthday, brother. Here's to another 50 years of unwanted high fives. I answered, you say unwanted. I say unappreciated. Thanks, homie. I do like the odd high five. Hope you had a great B-day. So that was my David Amber, Dan Wong kind of have a chat about high fives. So anyways, there's five more points. Giving myself five more.
Dubs. Be quick. We're on time here.
Oh, geez. Okay. I will say, much to my husband's chagrin and anybody who's outside the Walsh family circle, that we are driven by our stomachs. We like to eat. And we are known for, we didn't invent this recipe, but the idea of having a cheese plate on steroids as the main meal is something we're always pushing for. So, you know, you've got your charcuterie and you've got, you know, your fruit, your grapes, you've got your pâtés, your cheeses, the vegan stuff, the crackers, the baguette, like anything that you can put on there and make that the main meal not only helps you in the, saves you on the prep in the kitchen, but is something that everybody always enjoys. So I'll say the cheese plate as the meal by the Walsh's.
Love that. I love a big old charcuterie night.
Mm.
Love it.
Yeah, me too.
Olives make it. Really kind of make it,
oh,
I think.
Always, yeah. Always there, yeah.
Points?
Who's scoring?
I'll give you 10. How about that? A tenner for that? Because I agree. Therefore, does anyone dispute 10 points?
Nope.
No.
Good. All right. JC, you invent a lot of cocktails. I know that much.
Well, speaking of inventing cocktails, why don't I show you one? This is a cocktail. Speaking of Nickel 9, I did a little collaboration with Nickel 9 Distillery. Which we are about to do. And this was a little cocktail that I made, and I'll just play it for right now. Oh, there's no sound, right?
We're going to make Island Diaz spice.
Oh, well, it doesn't work. So this cocktail you can hear it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I can't.
That's hey! How's it going, everybody? We're going to make Island Diaz spice rum in glass. We're going to use this much. We're going to put it in the glass. And there you have it. The Nickel 9 Island rum in glass. Greg, how about a taste?
Good drink.
This has been Jeff's Nickel 9 Distillery. Whoa!
It's so good. Spiced spiced rum on ice.
No, 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 no ice. It's rum in glass. Spiced rum.
Neat.
Rum in glass.
Ice rum neat.
No, yeah. It's rum in glass. It's different.
Oh, okay.
Is no, this one's just in a glass. There it is. Hello.
I love it. And actually, JC, I had a question. Is it Nickel 9 Distillery? Or because I've also heard Nickel 9 Distilleries. What's the proper way to say it?
Distillery.
Distillery. Okay.
Yes.
We should know how to say it since we're having the event there. So I just
this is true.
Make sure I was saying it right.
Nickel 9 Distillery. 90 Cawthra Avenue, Toronto, Ontario. Something, 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 something.
June 6th, 7 o'clock.
They make great gin.
They do.
All right.
We do.
Let's go quickly here. Jimmy.
Mine's a breakfast. I'm known for my breakfasts, and I've made one, and it's called...
You say breakfasts?
Breakfasts. And it is called the Toronto Slop. That's what I named it. Okay? Hash browns. Okay? Cook them, get them going, bit of salt, bit of pepper, paprika. Okay? You get some onions, and we're going to...
Paprika.
We're going to dice these up, and we're going to put them in sautéed into the hash brown. We're going to take some peppers, and we're going to cut them up. We're going to fry them a little bit, and we chuck them in, okay? Then we're going to get two eggs, and we're going to fry them sunny side up. Chuck it in as well. Then we get some cheese, a little bit of cheese on top, okay? And then we get a little bit of hot sauce. And then you mix it all together. It comes in a big bowl and you eat it. It's called Toronto Slop. But the key is you have to add pea meal bacon. And when you add the pea meal bacon, all diced up and sliced up, put that in as well. Mix it up. And there you have it. Toronto Slop.
Well done. I like that.
Nice.
Me too. The pea meal bacon.
Paprika.
That's how they pronounce it in Brennan world.
I'll give him 12 points.
That's how you say it in England.
You're paprika. Full of shit. That's how they say it in England.
No, it is.
Idiots.
They do.
I think I say 12 points.
Yeah, you did. I wrote down 12 points.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Right, who's next? I guarantee there's a restaurant somewhere in Toronto that would absolutely love to put that on the menu and have it the Jimmy Brennan Toronto Slop Special. That's a thing.
I'm telling you,
let's make that happen.
It's delicious.
It's interesting, the sunny side up that you throw in and just mix it all up. I'm not sure. Yeah. About
no, because the egg yolk goes all through it.
No. Oh, okay. And if there's enough for more, you can have sloppy seconds.
It'll be one of your favorite breakfasts of all time.
That could have been my best event.
My breakfast.
Sloppy seconds?
Sloppy seconds.
Sloppy seconds.
All right. Craig.
Oh, well, it hasn't really happened yet, but there's a talk about maybe a bulgin. A drink called a bulgin.
You're a bulgin in your pants?
Yeah.
Not as much as you used to.
Yeah.
That's got to be 20 points. For the little teaser there. Can we say it? Yeah, can we announce it?
Yeah, of course. It's on Eventbrite.
We kind of have. It is, okay.
Yeah.
So we're launching a gin.
Seriously.
We're launching a gin and then a vodka. It's crazy. We know. Nickel 9 Distillery are incredible. They make incredible spirits. And for some reason, they've decided that we'd be a great partner. So we are dropping one ball gin.
Footy Prime One Ball Gin. Is what it's going to be called.
It's going to be available on our website eventually, on Nickel 9 Distillery's website. And at our event June the 6th, you'll be able to buy it there as well. The invite to the event on June the 6th will be up on our website and socials today.
It's already up. It's on Eventbrite, but we'll have a link through Footy Prime. We are footyprime.com.
Right. So $20 for a ticket gets you a couple of free drink tickets. There'll be a sampling of the gin. You'll get some Shaman's Proper pie of some sort, and also a live podcast record with hopefully special guests. And we'll be hearing from you. Q&A. We'll do maybe a Flaccid Four segment. It's going to be a ton of fun. Yes. June the 6th here in
there
Toronto.
Will also be a live rendition of our theme song, Footy Footy It's time to get this party started.
Excellent.
The live rendition.
Yeah. Yes. Guess who's... We'll also have a photo booth, opportunities to take pictures and photos with your favorite primers. It'll be a great night.
And your least favorite primers.
Yeah. Well, you and I and Sharms will have to slide in there in the background. We'll photobomb everyone. How do you Photoshop those fuckers out?
But yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be a first, if it's a success, which I hope it will be, we'll do a lot of these things coming up. So yeah, please, June the 6th. We're even getting Dubs in, as mentioned before.
7 till 10, Dubs will be there, our most famous primer.
Yeah,
I'm really not, you guys. I'm at best third place. Probably
you're a populist. You're very popular. You play to the crowd.
We love you.
Lots of pandering.
Are we done? How about mine? I haven't done mine yet, have I? My answer to the
no, your answer. Yeah,
yeah. And mine's actually, I was going to kind of jump. Craig was a big part of this actually. So the chicken balti pie is not anything new. It was invented in the mid-90s in Birmingham, England. But with my pie business, Shamus Proper, we try to reinvent it. And as I was going through the recipe and trying to figure out what it should be, I would bring it into Sportsnet on Saturday mornings for Craig and Deitch to taste. And they would give me their feedback. Too much salt, not enough salt, bit more flavor, bit more spice, not enough chicken, too much chicken, more chickpeas, this kind of stuff. And in the end, we perfected the chicken balti pie, in my opinion, thanks to Craig and thanks to Deitch. So that was my baby. It's still my baby. Still my favorite pie out of them all. So the chicken balti pie, Shamus Proper. That's my
top class. That's a 20 pointer there.
I can attest to that. It's a great pie. I love it.
Thank you.
It's my favorite.
Well, with that final answer, you beat the slop, you beat Dubs, and you beat me. So Sharms is the winner with 30
Again?
Points.
Back to yeah. back.
Wow.
Back to back.
It's in.
Like Ipswich. Get in. Back to back promotions.
All right. Yeah, I'm Ipswich. I'm a tractor boy.
You the are a tractor boy.
I'm a tractor boy. Maybe for the party, Sharms, for the party, it can be the chicken one balti pie.
Chicken one balti. Oh. That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Footy Prime's one night stand. Chicken. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
I mean, it's
look it up on Eventbrite. Look for Footy Prime one night stand. And on wearefootyprime.com, we'll figure out how to get that up on our website so it's easy to find.
But all on our socials, we can do that today.
Yes, we absolutely can do that all
start
today.
Pumping that out as quickly as possible because we've got to sell tickets now to make it worthwhile.
You got 3.5 weeks to buy tickets, 4 weeks. So let's do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, if anyone is coming from out of town, Dan Wong's couches are available and beds. Mm. Yep. So we'll I'll be after partying at Dan's house, which is just around the corner. We'll be walking the tracks to get there.
I might be on that couch too, so...
Craig will be. We're talking about the podcast, and we're calling and ask me almost anything. So you can basically, we're going to have opportunities for people to interact with us and ask questions that maybe we haven't covered enough, or maybe things that you really just want to hear how we see the world. So here you go,
because people want to hear that from us.
What's the hot dog
on the Palestine Israel conflict?
Oh,
let's not go there.
Oh no.
Yeah, they're crickets. Thanks, Sharps.
See, I know. Sorry, I didn't. I missed it. I didn't hear the.
That's why we do a soccer podcast. Reality sucks.
Yeah, it does. Reality's not good at all. Anything else? We did Looky Likey, right? We haven't got time for picks. And let's be honest.
Well, I'm just doing my pick. It's City for a parlay. A City over the good old Fulham. Is that correct? I think they're playing Fulham. So
I'm going to do mine too. Then I got Celtic over Rangers.
Ooh, Celtic over Rangers,
Jimmy. Nice. Big one.
Wonga, that's not a parlay. That's one bet. You did a parlay.
I did the exact same parlay with three teams last week, and I clicked on City and Fulham for this week. So I bet $10 last week, $2 $5 bets, and I won last week, going for number two this week.
So you have Arsenal.
Speaking of going for number
one, and City.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, that's it then. That's Footy Prime. Buy tickets. Please, because it'd be really embarrassing if 5 people showed up. It'd be really embarrassing, but it's quite possible it happens.
Well, there's at least 6 will show up.
Well, I guess, yeah, yeah.
But we get free tickets.
Do we?
Sure.
I already bought mine.
Oh.
Shit, I'm an idiot.
We all have to buy our own tickets. Only Footy Prime.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy's getting angry. Bye. Cheers for listening.
He is.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Let
the fun begin!
That's so good!
Oh, that's pretty good too.
Yeah. I want Jimmy's Toronto slop.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.